All right, Galatians chapter 1, verse number 6 through verse number 9. Galatians chapter 6, or 1, verse number 6. Did I say the wrong thing? Galatians 1, verse number 6. I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As I said before, so say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Let's pray. Father, we need help tonight. I pray you'd open our eyes to see. I pray you'll forgive me. Help me to be sensitive to you. And let no one quench your spirit this night. Give us that understanding that we need. And I pray you'd visit us from on high with Holy Ghost power. And Lord, just manifest yourself to some soul. Then get hold to some truth. Travel the road of light to the straight gate or whatever's necessary, Lord, in their life. Finish them. Bring them through the straight gate tonight, Lord. Oh, how great that would be. And I pray you'd do that that's needed in our midst that you might get glory. Undergird us that we might lift you up. And may you get all the glory and we'll praise you for what's done. We ask it all in Jesus' name for his sake. We do pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want to preach to you tonight on the subject that we've written a book about, but I don't imagine too many have read the book, but it's inoculated with the gospel. I've never preached that here. I preached it in the camp over in Arkansas years ago, but I felt like I needed to preach it tonight. Again, inoculated with the gospel. Now, that subject sounds like a good thing. Because we hear so much about inoculation in this world that sounds like a good thing. But do you know what inoculation really is? I looked it up in the dictionary. The health dictionary says this about inoculation. It said the act or practice of communicating a disease to a person by inserting contagious matter in his skin or flesh. And so they actually give you part of the disease. But the amazing part about it, they give you the disease, part of the disease, to keep you from getting the disease. That's what inoculation is, all right? And the title still sounds good after I read the definition of it. In other words, inoculated with the gospel. We've been so geared to think about inoculation. Boy, that's good. That's good. But I'm afraid that in our churches today, Baptists included, we've been inoculated with the gospel. And you realize something, as I said, in the end, in the health-wise, it keeps you from getting the disease. Now, you see, inoculation causes one to be immune to the disease they're inoculated or vaccinated with. Now, vaccination, the encyclopedia says this about vaccination. It said, vaccination is the inoculation of a person or animal in order to bring about immunity to an infectious disease. So we still look at that, and I'm afraid most of the Baptists today have been inoculated with the gospel, as well as other, when in reality, that's caused them to be immune to the gospel. You see, many times when the gospel is heard and the heart stirred, in other words, God's moving, but without a completed work of the Holy Spirit of God. In other words, even when we preach a lot of times, people don't listen to what you're saying. They don't hear nothing you say. Amen. I understand that, but may God awaken us to hear. But you see, when people do hear something, we're so geared to get it settled now, and yet we'll move out on our emotions many times without it being godly sorrow. It's worldly sorrow mixed with godly sorrow. We move out on that and make a profession that really does not, and that does not give you peace, and it does not give you satisfaction because it's not real. In reality, you see what happens, you just become immune to the gospel. Because you've been inoculated with the gospel. So I want to think about the subject of inoculation and compare it with the physical inoculation with the spiritual application. Now, four things, four thoughts I've got tonight, okay? You'll know when I'm nearly through. 4 points, okay? The first point is the inoculation requires a vaccine. Now, you understand that, especially you who work in the health world. We've got two now that works in the health world. Miss Susan and Miss Sandra, okay, work in the health world, and you understand that inoculation requires a vaccine. I remember back years ago when they come out with the vaccines when I was a boy, and they'd come out with those old needles, and they hurt. Oh, they hurt, didn't they? You remember them? They didn't worry about it. They just didn't have no sympathy for you. back then. But then they made it easier, and they come out with the oral vaccine for polio. Y'all remember that? You could just take a pill and swallow it. And I read the other day that they're doing something with some kind of powder that kind of goes in with a laser, and you won't even feel it. And they said that'll be good for the flu shot, being inoculated or get the vaccine for the flu. Well, what they're doing, you see, what happens is they take a living organism that's been tampered with, whatever it is, if it's flu or whatnot, that organism's been tampered with to create a vaccine to produce immunity. And what they do, as we think about the compare it to the spiritual application and the gospel's sake, Paul said this in verse 6. Of verse 1, chapter 1, I marvel, I'm amazed that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Now that sounds like double talk, as he spoke about another, which is not another, that type thing. But what it is, there's two words for the word another here in the Greek. One of them is heteros, and the other is allos. And the word heteros, in other words, is a word of, it means another of a different kind, and the word allos means another of the same kind. So what happens that we have a gospel that's been tampered with and weakened by man, and as a result, what happens is people are being vaccinated with the gospel and immune to it and are not saved. Many of them are. Now, you see this gospel he's talking about here, what Paul's saying here. And by the way, the gospel of Christ, we define the gospel. You've defined it, and I've defined it. We could put it in a nutshell as the death, the burial, and the resurrection, and that's true. 1 Corinthians 15 said that's the gospel. It's not just that he died, but he died for our sins. He was buried, and he rose again. But folks, did you know the gospel of Christ not only is just the death, burial, and resurrection, the gospel of Christ involves the virgin birth. Because without the virgin birth, you don't have one qualified to be our sin bearer. Amen? And so as a result, you've got to deal with that when you preach the gospel of Christ. That Jesus was virgin born. He wasn't a chip off the old block. He wasn't off of Adam. He's conceived of the Holy Ghost of God. And he lived a perfect life because he was God, but he had flesh. Temptation, yes, but he still lived a sinless life. That's part of the gospel, because if he had that sin one time, one thought, one time, and any time, he couldn't have qualified as our Savior. Our sin bearer, amen? But that's part of the gospel. And then, of course, we call it the vicarious death. That word vicarious, I used to think that meant the violent death that he died, and he did die a violent death. But that word vicarious simply means substitutionary. Means he died in my place. He died in your place. And that's part of the gospel, which is the death, dying for our sins. He was buried. That's part of it. But also he resurrected. That's part of it as well. But folks, I want to tell you, he ascended. He went back to his Father, sprinkled his own blood on the mercy seat, and sat down at the right hand of the Father to make intercession for us. And as a result, he's making intercession for us. That means he's praying for us. And he sent the Holy Spirit of God to do a work in our heart. It's called the sanctification of the Spirit. And we've got to have that in our in the gospel. Many people leave out the work of the Holy Spirit. I dealt with a man the other day on the email as he's talking about. He basically wanted to just put it up to you to make a decision when and where and how. It was all left up to you. I want to tell you, if the Holy Spirit didn't come to where you are, you'd never move toward him. And so the work of the Holy Spirit, the sanctifying work that comes and looses man who's in a bondage of sin, in the pit, a miry pit of sin, and he looses you so that you might move and respond toward the goodness of God, the long-suffering of God, and the forbearance of God. Amen. The goodness, Romans 2:4, that leads you to repentance. And that's got to be dealt with as part of the gospel. The fact of the work of the Holy Ghost conviction, Holy Ghost, the sanctification work of the Spirit. And also the gospel is he's bodily coming back again. Now, when we preach the gospel, that's what we deal with in those areas. That's our whole ministry, dealing with those things around the gospel of Christ. But when a man tampers with that, when a man weakens that, when a man softens that, he comes up with another gospel. As Paul said, I'm amazed that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, unto another a heteros gospel, a gospel of a different kind that's not of the saving kind, verse number 7 says. In other words, it's not an allos gospel. It's not of the same kind. And in other words, and that's exactly what's happened. All that's doing when people do that is producing immunity. They're being inoculated with the gospel. And I myself was inoculated with the gospel as a 10-year-old boy. And it took a long time to ever get out from under that. Now, you see, the first point that we're talking about is, inoculated with the gospel, is that it requires a vaccine. And that's what doctors and all have done. They've produced a vaccine in the health world to immunize you. And I may not can say that right, amen, but to produce some, I can't get that out, amen, but you know what I'm trying to say. And as a result, it sounds good, and it is good in the health world, but it's bad in the spiritual world because it makes you immune to the real gospel. Amen. You've just got enough of it, a taste of it, that you've been tampered with. Now, the second thing, if the vaccine's got to be made, in other words, there has to be a vaccine, and that consists of living organisms that are weakened in the laboratory so that they create immunity but do not cause the disease. Now, the second thing about being inoculated with the gospel in this message, that vaccine must be administered. It's got to be administered for it to be any good in the health world. And that means there's human instruments involved. Nurses give shots. Am I not right, Miss Susan? Nurses give shots sometimes. And you may not give shots, Miss Sandra, but you direct them over here to where they do give shots. Amen. And the health department. So God uses the health department, administrators, doctors sometimes, nurses, and different people of the health world to administer the vaccine that's been messed with, organisms that's been messed with and weakened to the point to where you get the vaccinated. Why you say, well, I'm not going to get the disease anymore. In the health world, that's good. But behind all of those that minister that, the human instruments, please, that's involved, there's doctors back there that's tampered with that stuff. Now, when they tampered with it for the health world, that's a good thing, I think. I'm not so sure sometimes. We don't know certain sometimes. But they tamper with that stuff, and they I don't know what they do. They mix up those things and come up with something else and weaken it down to where they can produce immunity to the disease without giving you the disease. Now, as I said a while ago, we're living in the days whenever things are getting easier. There's the shots, and they used to use the big old needles, didn't care how big they were, and now they use little old thin needles and put the stuff in at a different rate. Sometimes it's a quick shot, sometimes it's an oil vaccine, and as I said, they're working on that powder to put it in by laser. I read that in the paper just a day or two ago. It's amazing how things fit together. Have you heard about that? But that's what I read. So I may not have my terms all right, but they're trying to make it easier so the people won't fear getting the flu shot. Okay, I'll use that because people have a fear of that needle. They want something easier. You get the picture? You get the picture? Well, you see what's happened. God has human instruments. That's the application. He uses human instruments to administer the gospel to you. That's God's way. And that's just as I wrote the article on can man be saved by a tract alone? And I do not believe he can. I believe it takes a human instrument because that's God's way. Bible said in Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But he also said, how shall they call on him in whom they've not heard? How can they hear whom they've not believed? How can they believe in him of whom they've not heard? How can they hear without a preacher? How can he preach except he be sent? There's got to be a human instrument for you to hear so that you can believe on the truth about the gospel. You've got to have a human instrument. Amen. And the Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 5, who then is Paul? The church at Corinth were fussing over who Paul was, and I follow Apollos, I follow Paul. Some said I follow Cephas. Some said I'm following Christ. They're real spiritual, you know. But still, Paul said, who are we? Who then is Paul? Verse 5, who is Apollos? And then he answers that question, but ministers by whom ye believe, by whom ye believe. Human instruments that God sent by the church at Corinth so that they might believe. Not because Paul was anything, not because Apollos was anything, but that was God's way. And he also goes on to say, even as the Lord gave to every man. In other words, he's saying every man that believed had a human instrument cross their path somewhere. Now, I had somebody send me a bunch of testimonies of people in jail and got saved by reading the tract. They wanted to make sure that I knew that happened. I wrote them back. You know what I told them? I said, if they were saved while reading that tract, and they said, oh, they had a real testimony, and they went years. Well, if they were saved while reading their tract, there had to be a human instrument somewhere cross their path before that time. Amen? Because God said he gave to every man that believed. That's God's way. Amen? And we print as much as a lot of people do, but I want to tell you, God uses a human instrument to cross their path. That may stir them. A tract may stir them to come to the point they be saved. But see, our people are trying to make an easier vaccine. Well, all you got to do is just read this little old piece of paper and just make a mental decision on it, and it'll be all right. Walk the aisle, make a mental decision on it, it'll be all right. But God said it's by the foolishness of preaching that men are saved, 1 Corinthians 1:21 said. So therefore, we conclude that a man will not be saved without a human instrument somewhere, sometime, crossing his path. It may not be a God-called preacher. It might be a grandma that preaches to that grandson or that granddaughter. Amen. You understand? It's got to be a human instrument. They said they believed on the message in John 4 because of the testimony of the woman saved at the well. I don't know what all transpired, but a human instrument was there. Now, the problem we've got today, that many have tampered with the gospel and weakened it until it produces is immunity. And they don't really be saved. They're not really saved. Now, who would do such a thing? Doctors, for the most part. Amen. Just like the medicine, I mean, the doctors are working on that in labs, trying to make a vaccine that will, you can be immunized. Well, you can have a vaccine and not get the disease, okay? But that's, doctors are messing with the gospel today. This one fellow said, I've been to school. I graduated from the seminary. I graduated from there, and yet he didn't even believe in Holy Ghost conviction, didn't believe in repentance, didn't believe in, well, I don't know what he really believed. Didn't believe in saving faith. He just believed you just made up your mind. And just, well, Lord help. But doctors, for the most part, denying the virgin birth in our schools today. I'm talking about our seminaries today, denying the virgin birth and taking those young preachers that come in there. And the reason they get messed up, they're not saved when they come in there. And as a result, they deny the virgin birth and they put out a bunch of clones that's just like they are out there that's going against the gospel, not preaching the gospel. Paul said, just let them go on to hell. It's another gospel. That's what he said in verse 8 and 9. Don't, in other words, listen, they're doing more harm. They're causing people to swerve and move away from the gospel to another gospel of a different kind that's not of the saving kind. And therefore, we need to see, and these easy believism tactics. Now, easy believism comes in all forms. You know that? I mean, I have seen more in the last few weeks of another type of easy believism. The devil is very shrewd. He'll get you to stand up and fight. You know, sometimes in your own life, it'd be like you in a house and the enemy's attacking your house and you have the front door of something barred and the back door barred with another, but if you're not careful, you'll leave a side window open and he'll slip in. The devil wants to destroy you. You say, well, I'll never get caught up in this and I'll never get caught up in that. And while you're holding the front door of adultery and the back door of murder or something along that line and hate and whatnot, the little window's open on the side and he'll slip in and get you caught in something else. Amen. He's a shrewd dude. And this thing of easy believism today is moving on every side. Now, when I grew up and began to preach, I knew that the easy believism tactic of raise your hand and repeat after me was wrong. I remember being in the First Baptist Church in McKenzie, and when that man stood up and he didn't even have the pulpit out, he had the Bible memorized, and I'll just tell you his name, Angel Martinez. I don't care if it goes around the world, but he was more or less like a show in Las Vegas or something as he was marching around and with his handheld mic and speaking. Yes, he was a sharp as far as his words were concerned, but then he had them to raise their hands in that congregation and said, if you're lost, raise your hand. If you don't know whether you're saved, raise your hand. And then he had them all grouped together, and he said, if you raised your hand, you're lost, or you raised your hand that you don't know whether you're saved or not, pray this prayer with me. And he started out saying, Father, or Lord, I don't know what he said, but he would say a word or two and then give them time to quote it. And he'd say a word or two and give them time to quote it. And then when he got done, and he'd say, Amen. And he said, then this is what he said as he stood there. The very words he said, now, if you prayed that prayer, whether you're lost or whether you don't know whether you're saved or lost, By the authority of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, you are saved. Folks, Paul said, let him go on to hell. Get out of the way. He's causing many people, and there's professions made that night. People walked down the aisle. He had them all come down the aisle that made professions. Some of them was looking back, watching the others, little kids and whatnot, and popping their bubble gum, and there wasn't no conviction on any of them. And he said, now take your Bibles, every one of you who prayed that prayer, write down inside the front cover somewhere that this date, he looked at his clock, it'd say 8:42 or whatever it was. He had it down to a point, and if the devil ever comes to make you doubt, put his nose in that Bible and say, I got saved that night, this date, this time, at that particular time. Folks, that's an easy believism tactic. And what those people did, many of them, are going to hold on to that profession of faith and slide off into hell because they were vaccinated with the gospel. They were inoculated with the gospel that night, and it was been tampered with, messed up by that preacher. And as a result, he give them something to hold on to that's not reality. I was against that even that day. I remember that night we watched, Laurie was, I think, 8 years old about that time, and we watched to make sure she didn't raise her hand, get caught up in that even then. And I said, Lord, I'd sure like to dismiss this church in prayer tonight. And I was just lost as bald and high weeds myself. But I did. I prayed, Lord, I'd like to dismiss in church. And guess what? The First Baptist preacher called an independent Baptist preacher to dismiss in prayer that night. I got to dismiss in prayer, and the Lord wouldn't let me say nothing. You know? I was wanting to preach a message in the prayer, but it wouldn't have done any good whatsoever. We was just trying to make some friends, and that would have really made them. But I was against that type of easy believer. That was early in my ministry. I don't know what, year 75, somewhere along there, and I was against that. But you know what? I'll still practice another form of easy believism because others have said this is the way you do it. You get the Roman road. You find out, get them in the answer in the affirmative. Yes, I'm a sinner. Yes, I want to go to heaven. You don't never get them to say no. You arrange the question so they can just keep saying, yeah. Do you want to pray this prayer? Do you want to ask Jesus in your heart? And all those things. But anyway, what happened? You'd say, well, after you got through, you'd say, well, I'm against easy believism, but now let's pray. And you'd get down and they'd pray silently, maybe at an altar somewhere. And then they'd raise up and you'd say, did you get saved? And they'd say, I don't know. You ever seen anybody like that? Yeah, I don't know whether I got saved or not. And then you'd say, now, listen. You'd raise your voice just a little. And this happened to Travis right over there in that seat, didn't it, Travis? That's what that missionary tried to do to him a few years ago. And then you'd say, the Bible says, whosoever. Is that you? Yeah, that's me. Are you a sinner? Yes, I'm a sinner. Then the Bible said if you call on the name of the Lord, you'd be saved. Now then, let's pray again. This time, pray out loud. You know why we wanted them to pray out loud? So we could hear them ask the Lord to save them. And then if they prayed out loud and did that, they raise up, you'd say, did the Lord save you? I don't know. If they say that, I don't know. You'd say, are you calling God a liar? God said in His Word. And you raise your voice with such authority to them that you would force them to say, yes, I'm saved. Because they'd say, the preacher thinks I'm saved, so I must be saved. Easy believism, inoculated with the gospel. And many have that testimony today. Now, when I was made my profession of faith and I was 10 years old, I don't even know what the preacher told me. I don't remember a word they said. I can't tell you whether I even prayed or not. I just remember where I was at. I can still see the form of the house and all about it. And after I had a definite call to preach, I began to go back and find out what week that was by looking on the church records and find out when it was so I could have something to tell people. I found out you don't have much to have to tell people for them not to be bothered. Amen. You can just say, He's Lord, and that'll get them off your back a lot of times. Amen? But you remember that. But the thing about it is, that was easy believism that I practiced in a different form, tampering with the gospel and making children twofold more the child of hell. But yet I find today we've still got others that's practicing some other form. And they fight, really gung-ho, fighting the gospel, the easy believism tactic, but yet turn around and say the Word is the Holy Spirit. And when I preach that word, I'm in God's stead. And all you've got to do is just ask Him to save me while I'm preaching and you'll be saved. I want to tell you what, that's another vaccine that somebody's messed with somewhere and made another vaccine. See, I don't know how many vaccines they have. Different companies make different vaccines. So that means a bunch of doctors have been messing with it and they'll say, ours is better than this company and ours is better than this company and something like that. Oh, that's what, preachers have messed with the gospel and come up with different ideas. This will get the job done. I know how to get it done. I'm an expert in all those things. Folks, I want to tell you, we're inoculating people with the gospel and it sounds good, but it's bad because you see, you give them just enough to where they don't ever get the disease. Don't ever get the gospel and die and go to hell. But the vaccine must be administered, and it's a human instrumentality that does that. Amen. And so, see, when the Spirit begins to deal, preachers set out to inoculate them with the gospel, and they really become immune to the gospel. And then they go through life like many of us did. I wonder if I'm saved. Get the daisies out. Lost, saved. Lost, saved. You might not have ever done that. Take the apple core and turn it. Lost, saved. Lost, saved. And you just hope it come out. Y'all never did do that. You might not have, but you did something similar to it. Amen. Well, Lord, if I'm saved, let that cloud move. Like one man told me one time. Why do people pray that? Why do people look for things? Because all they have is inoculation to the gospel, and they don't really have the gospel. You see, they've got another gospel, really, which is not of the saving kind. And oh, how sad it is that many are going to plunge off into hell. I'm talking about go sit in church all their lives that way. I remember seeing a man in another denomination in the paper one day. His picture's in the paper. You know how they give these Sunday school pens sometimes? They give one that pins on the nest and just tacks on together. And this man, I think he was in his 90s, and he had pins went all the way to the floor and never really missed Sunday school many years in all of his life. In other words, can't you just imagine walking up to the Lord one day and saying, if you're not saved, you're not going to walk up to him, but you get the point, and say, well, I know you let me in because look here. Here's my little string of pins from Sunday school class. Somebody probably tell you that. All you got to do is go to church. Folks, you realize something, that we are inoculated with the gospel and we're bothered and bothered. So you see, the vaccine has been produced. It has to be administered. And then what happens, thirdly, there has to be booster shots. I don't know whether all of them have that or not, but I know they have a lot of booster shots. Amen. Don't they kids go to school, they say you got to have your booster at 3 and 5 and I don't know whether that's the right age or not, but you understand they have booster shots. Am I right? There's booster shots. You know what that's for? Because, see, the effect of the immunization begins to wear off. And they're afraid that it might get so weakened to the point that if they're exposed to some virus out there or some disease or communicable disease, they're afraid that they might get it even after having the vaccination. That's what a lot of preachers, they've developed booster shots. Because they're so afraid you're going to come up and get saved after you and out from under their ministry, if you please. But what do people do in the spiritual world? They have booster shots. Now, I don't know whether you ever had any booster shots or not, but I had booster shots, amen. I had booster shots really till my arm got sore. You get the point, you know. I don't know what I'm saying. Listen, the first thing that really happens, I think, is a booster shot. Is what happens, the devil will give you a booster shot. Because you get in a service sometime when God moves and deals with your soul and say, and you begin to worry about whether you're really saved or not, right? You think about, well, I don't know whether I'm saved or not. And the devil will whisper in your ear, and you seem like you hear an audible voice. Am I right? And that voice says, that's just the devil making you doubt. Psh, booster shot. Well, after all, you think, well, and the preachers will tell you that one of the ways you know you're saved is if you doubt your salvation. Folks, I want to tell you, that's right opposite to what the Scripture said. These things are written that you may know. And yet the devil says, that's just the devil making you doubt. He's a liar. He's never told the truth yet. He's lying on himself, trying to get you to be propped up to just keep on going with what you have or don't have. Folks, I'm going to tell you, when you die, the only thing that's going to matter is what you've done with the blood of Jesus, and it's God's work in you that gets you to that point. But so many today, all they have is a booster shot. I think my own case was when I was about in my early 20s. I forgot the exact year, but I came home one day, and I said, I don't know whether I'm saved or whether I'm lost. I'd been out on the combine. Things wasn't going right. It was sort of one of those days, Brother Richard, you know, it just wasn't going right. Some of those days didn't go right. In fact, a lot of them did. Mama said there'd be days like this, but she didn't say that all be like this, okay? But it wasn't going right. I said, I don't know know whether I'm saved or lost. And my wife said, let's go talk to her pastor. So we went to her pastor. And I know I've told you this before, but we need to hear it again. But I went to the pastor, and the pastor said, well, Brother Edgar, a few years ago, I had a girl come to me about the same way and asked me, told me about the same thing you did. And when I got through, I had convinced her that she was saved, and she went off, and I got a letter 8 years later that said, I just got saved. And he said, I promised God I'd never do that again. That sounds good, doesn't it? Then he said, but, Brother Edgar, you go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. You pay your tithe. You like me. My old spiritual suspenders popped out, and I was propped. I had a booster shot. The preacher thinks I'm saved. Everything's okay. I'll tell you, the booster shots come in many forms as far as the spiritual application is concerned. So some people say, even walk up to you and give you advice. And brag, the devil will get them to come by when you really bothering, and they don't even know you're bothering. They say, my, you're such a fine Christian. I read in my Bible the other day where a big-time preacher signed my Bible. You know how they do it. Merle signs your Bible, and this big-time preacher signed in my Bible. He said, you're a fine Christian young man. Now, that would have probably propped me up when he put that there. He thought I was okay, you know. And after all, he ought to know. And now that I know his life, I know he didn't know, because he used Romans or John 6:37 even on his own daughter that came to the altar one time. In other words, the immunization had wore off of her, and she was shook. And he pulled out John 6:37, said, he that cometh to me, I won't cast out. And he said, did you come to him? To him? Well, yeah, I come to him. And he said, well, you're okay then. That's what he did on my wife before she was saved. That happened. Just some little old shot, booster shot, to try to get you to keep on keeping on. I remember one time at Myrtle, Mississippi, I was listening. I listen sometimes around to some of those things. And I remember this girl went up to this preacher, and she said to him, she said, I don't know whether I'm saved or not. I was sort of around the corner. I was just listening to what was going on because I was interested in the situation. Amen. And she said, I don't know whether I'm saved or not. And you know what he told her? He said, well, it could be that the place that you was baptized in is not just a scriptural church, and you need to come and be baptized at our church so you make sure you're in the bride. Make sure you're in the bride. Amen. Sad. Sad. You know what that is? Baptismal regeneration is all that is. Booster shot. Propped her up. Still going. For a while anyway. But what I'm saying, that's the devil wants to set you up with a booster shot. He's got instruments out there. Some of them may know what they're doing, and some don't. They're so blinded and deceived themselves, they don't know what they're doing, but they're giving booster shots to keep people keeping on, if you please, in that. And so therefore, I think another is somebody comes up to somebody when they say, well, I don't know whether I'm saved or not. Let me tell you what happened. Well, tell me what happened. And I know this for an instant. And then they said to them, this is what happened. This is what happened. And this is what happened. And this is what the preacher told this woman. He said, sounds good to me. Listen, you're not the Messiah. You're not God. You don't know whether people are saved. I like what the missionary said the other day and what our Brother Doug said even after that. The missionary said the other day when he went to his preacher and said, I doubt whether I'm saved or not. And the preacher said, if you doubt it, I doubt it. Amen. And if Doug said the other night, if you've got questions, I've got questions. Amen. And that's the way it ought to be, because you don't need anybody to prop you up. Amen. You don't need that. And I don't want to prop you up. And yet you'll prop on what I'm telling you sometime. And the devil tries, well, he's a preacher. And you'll twist what I even say and try to make you feel better. And get a booster shot and go on. Folks, we don't need that. You're not the Messiah. You don't need that Messiah complex. Well, some of them will say, well, you just got sin in your life. You need to confess that sin. Giving you a booster shot, if you please, you see. Some said, well, you've got answered prayer. And you know the Bible said God doesn't hear a sinner's prayer. Man, I've propped on that for a long time. And I've had people tell me that. I've had preachers preach that when I'd be doubting. And here they'd come along and preach that. And I'm sure others have propped on that very same thing, because they had answered prayer. But really, I only had one that I knew God answered. But that's enough. Man, that's enough to prop on that. Give me a booster shot to keep on going for a while longer. And you see, now it's true. But God told Cornelius, as he sent Peter over there, even Cornelius said, Peter, the angel told me, thy prayers have been heard. And Cornelius wasn't saved. Cornelius needed the human instrument. And Peter came by and preached the gospel to him. and didn't give him a vaccine, didn't give him a booster shot, but he was genuinely saved. I mean, he got the real thing, the real gospel, if you please. Well, you realize something, there's a lot of forms that goes along with that. Somebody says, well, just need to be baptized. You know, you need, well, you go to church and you tithe. You're saved, they'll tell you. And we could go on with many different booster shots that people get. And you might even have some that you've gotten along your lifespan that tried to prop you up and say you're okay, that's different. Folks, I want to tell you, you don't need a booster shot spiritually. Now, in the health world, you may need a booster shot to keep from getting the disease. But folks, you don't need the booster shot in the spiritual world because that's exactly what it does. It keeps you from getting the disease. And so therefore, you need to realize that you need the gospel. Well, number four, you see, the vaccine has been made. And a lot of preachers have already made the weaken the gospel and giving you the vaccine that really don't do anything but just give you another gospel. Paul said, just let them go on to hell. But it's been administered to thousands today. And yet they need booster shots to keep on giving assurance. And the Bible said in 1 Thessalonians 1:5, our gospel came not in word only, but also in power and the Holy Ghost and much assurance. Amen. When the gospel comes, there's much assurance about that. But the fourth point of this message is, sometimes when you get exposed to a strong source of the living organism, the person still gets the disease even after the vaccine, even after the booster shots. Amen. That's happened in the medical world. There's cases of it, I guess you could say. In other words, and that's good in the health world, amen? And by the way, you realize, because in the health world, when they get the vaccine and the booster shot, few there be that gets the real organism, the real disease. Am I right? Correct? Few there be. They say they've got some on record, but it's so few sometimes they want to just count it nil. Just a small percentage. Less than 1%. I don't know what the percentage is, but I'm trying to get you to see something. Just a small number. Might be 2% in some cases, but most of the time, it's just almost, you don't rarely ever hear of anybody getting it if they've had their booster shots, if they've had the vaccine. So it's good in the health world, but few there be that gets it. But you know what the application is? If you inoculated with the gospel and get the booster shots, there are few there be that get the gospel. What did he say in Matthew chapter 7? Matthew chapter 7, verse number 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. In other words, you see, the application in the spiritual world is there's also few, just a few. A small percentage, just a small number compared to the world that get the gospel after they've been administered the vaccine of the gospel, the false gospel, and the booster shots. Few there be that find the narrow way that leads to the straight gate, even if you please. And sometimes, but yet sometimes, individuals are exposed to the power of God and the Holy Ghost overcomes the immunity, the vaccine, and the booster, in other words, by Holy Ghost conviction. Bible said in John 16, 8 through 11, when he's come, Jesus said, I'm going to send you the Holy Ghost. When he's come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. You know what we need is an old-fashioned move of the Holy Ghost of God in power. And he said, in the day of his power, you'll be made willing. And that will overcome all the vaccines you've had. All the booster shot you've had, all the thoughts you've had, the devil's give you, whatever. It'll come to that place to where he'll reprove you of sin. And you'll find out the sin of unbelief is the major thing. Amen? You'll find that out. You'll find out that the judgment's there, but you'll find out that Jesus is the righteousness of God. He's hidden in the bosom of the Father, and he'll be revealed to you by the Holy Ghost of God. And, of course, the emotional part of that is the godly sorrow, deep cause grief over your sin of unbelief and your sin of nailing Jesus to the cross. It'll bring you to the place to where you have a godly sorrow is what it's called. And it'll cause repentance to be worked in your life and faith to be produced so that you can obey the gospel by repenting and believing. Now, how many does that come to? Few. A very small amount is what it amounts to. In the health world, it's almost nil. Sometimes they say the cases are so few we'll not even deal with it. Folks, look around today. Who do you know that's been saved lately? Few. It's almost scary to think about. Now, we had a move in the place where I was at last week. I'll not put it on tape or DVD, but they was all excited. It grieved me. It grieved me. I know God may have moved on some, and some might have been saved, all right? But I want to tell you what, the majority of them got booster shots by the people that ministered to them, and they got the emotions got stirred, and they didn't allow the Holy Ghost to finish the work in their heart. And they're going to go back, and they even carried it back into their churches. And I don't know how to stop that. I don't know how to. I wish we had a move. We've seen moves here that didn't pan out. We've seen moves where emotions got involved, and people really didn't get in. What are we going to do? We're going to keep on preaching the gospel. Not a heteros gospel, but the gospel that's of the same kind. The gospel that's not weakened and tampered with. The work of Holy Ghost conviction, if you please. And pray that God would move in such power that all at once, I mean, whenever you'll throw away your booster shots, you'll throw away your immunity and say, I need the Lord, and let God finish a work in your heart. And we as human instruments allow that to happen in you. Let Him finish that work. And that's what we're looking for and expecting in your life, you see. So as a result, you see what happens when you have booster shots and immunity in the health world. Well, in the health world, I imagine if you got the real disease, you'd probably get a fever and shake. If you got the disease, is that right? Fever and shake. Well, you know what the Bible says about in the spiritual world? Bible says in Jeremiah chapter number 23, verse number 9, He says, mine heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. I'm like a drunken man and like a man with whom wine hath overcome because of the Lord and because of the word of His holiness. In other words, when the gospel comes and Holy Ghost conviction comes and the gospel is so strong a strain and so much power, I'll tell you, it'll cause you to shake on the inside. I mean, it'll be like a dog with a rag, you know. Like, you ever seen a dog kill a snake? I mean, shaking back and forth inside, and you get all stirred up. And what you need to do when that happens, don't let somebody give you a booster shot. Don't take somebody else's word. Let God finish the work in you. Let Him bring you through. Let Him bring you to fruition. Don't get shortchanged. Don't get shortchanged, because we've got so many today who've done that. Amen. That's why He said, the few there be that find the narrow way. Just like the there's few who take the immunization right, few of them. Very few that get the real disease. And there's few that even find the narrow way that leads to the straight gate. And Jesus said in Luke 13, 24, strive to enter in the straight gate. For many are going to seek. That means they've been stirred. That means they've been worked on. And if they are not careful, the devil will give them a booster shot. Some human instrument will try to short circuit that work. Let God finish that work. And yes, there's a certain amount of shame that goes with it. And that's what we're living in today. Well, what's people going to think? What's mom and daddy going to think? What's the church members going to think? What's others going to think? It don't matter what others think. I mean, listen, if you're not saved, get honest. I beg you to get honest with that. And don't care if you've made 25 professions of faith. I don't care if you've held on to booster shot after booster shot after booster shot, because when you lay down to die, there's going to be anything else that's going to matter. Stay with it. Stay with it. And let God move on you in power. And strive to enter in. Overcome that's just overcome the obstacles that the devil sets in front of you, if you please. Well, inoculation in the health world is good, but it's not good in the spiritual world. Not good. It's good for the devil, but not yourself, not your soul. Paul said, in other words, here in Galatians chapter 1, he said, let those who do such just go on to hell. Let them get out of the way. So inoculated with the gospel. You see, the vaccine has been made. Preachers have tampered with the truth of the gospel and weakened it down, made it easier. And they'll tell you, we've made it, Jesus made it easier, and it's easy to be saved. I won't tell you it's impossible with man to be saved. Amen? You can't do it. And yet many preachers as human instruments will add to it, try to give you a booster shot and say you're okay, this thing and that. And yet many have had the vaccine administered. They've had the booster shot administered. But I'm praying that God will move in with such power, with a strain of Holy Ghost conviction that's so strong, it'll overcome the immunity. It'll overcome the vaccine. It'll overcome the booster shots. And He'll bring you through and birth you into the family of God and make you a new creature in Christ Jesus. Now the question to ponder tonight is, have you been inoculated with the gospel? Have you been inoculated with the gospel? Well, Let me ask you another question. Have you had spiritual booster shots to keep you from being saved, in other words, just keeping you in a lost condition? Or have you had the real gospel do a work in your heart? In essence, have you been saved? Is what I'm trying to say. Get honest with yourself. Get honest with God. And allow the Holy Spirit to complete His work in you. That's why we'll stay with you. I don't care where you're at. I don't care how many times you've made that profession. I don't care how many booster shots you've made. I know there's some things the Holy Spirit speak your heart about. And you say, that's right. I've been inoculated with the gospel. Just get honest with yourself and with God. You don't have to tell everybody. But sometimes it helps to tell certain people. Because if you don't, the devil will trick you up and get you in a corner and shoot you on both arms at the same time spiritually and say, you're okay, you're okay. Mom will tell you, well, I was there when you got saved, daughter. Preachers will say, I remember when you got saved. Boy, that's just sometimes all it takes to prop you back up and keep on going. May God move on us in power with such a strong strain of the organism of the gospel of grace, the gospel of God, that would overcome the immunity, that will overcome the inoculation, the vaccine, and the booster shots. And you can say, I'm saved, saved, saved. That's what we need. May God help us in this day to get honest with ourselves and with God and allow Him to finish that work. Father, I pray tonight that some way, somehow, you'll reach down in some heart and let someone see the booster shots not keeping the job done, the vaccine that was administered by the devil, by human instruments, whoever it might have been administered by, is to keep them from getting saved, from being saved. Oh, Lord, do a work in our midst. Visit us from on high with Holy Ghost power, Holy Ghost conviction, Holy Ghost unction. Lord, just move on us. Move on us and do that that's needed in hearts and lives, and help us to get honest with ourselves and with you and allow you to finish the work in hearts and lives. And we'll thank you for what you do and praise you and give you glory for it. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. For His sake we pray. Heads bowed, eyes closed, altars open.